and welcome to Did I Save? It's a podcast about the way games change, and you know, it's also about the way games change us. Wow. And games are changing, all right. The game shows were just out in full force last week, and we have come together to talk about games we think you should know about, games that we think are pretty cool.
Yep.
And I think you're really smart, and that's why you're here watching us right now. But I do want to advise that you keep an open mind when you're watching these, and sometimes you should go a little left field, you know?
Indeed.
We watched a lot of different game shows.
We are actually in the same room.
Don't break the illusion, right? Yeah. If you're in my camera, then people will know this is all just... Not... No! Okay. We're going to have to cut this out anyway. This won't make any sense at all on the podcast. So we have a little list, but first and foremost, I want to talk about some trends that I saw at this year's game show that I thought were interesting.
Throw it out.
A big one for me, and I've already kind of touched on this with Ryan, but something weird happened this year for me where I'm watching these games, and there are a lot of AAA games coming out from big studios that look interesting, but they're not like grab you and shake you interesting. They're not like, whoa, these games look incredible.
Yeah.
But at the end of every single game, it's like coming to Game Pass. And I'm like, you know, even if I'm not that interested in this game, I'm already paying $9 a month or whatever it is for Game Pass. I can literally just try any of these games.
Yeah.
Like the barrier to entry has become so low that it is just about the amount of time you're willing to spend.
What they're trying to do is to get you to download so many games in the Game Pass that you have to buy the Xbox expansion to get more memory. That's what's happening.
I don't know that's a strategy.
I don't think that joke fully makes sense.
You have to download too many games. You're going to have to buy the
expansion. I do have to download too many games because the Master Chief Collection is like over 100 gigs.
Yeah.
You know, we're not all just sitting on terabytes of storage every
day. Yeah.
But I think it's really interesting how my like perspective on these games shifts pretty dramatically when I realize that I can play this game without any kind of financial investment in it.
Right.
And so a lot of the games that were AAA games, I'm like, I'm more of an indie guy in general because I like new ideas and I like seeing people try different things.
Yeah.
But a lot of these games I will give an honest shot. And a lot of games had demos this year, which I was very excited about.
Yeah.
Another trend that I thought was pretty interesting is there's a lot of movies in the past couple of years that are animated have started doing this. Kind of like, I think it's borrowed from anime, where like they will intentionally cut down on the frames of animation to try and emphasize a particular kind of movement.
Mm-hmm.
If you saw that in like the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie, and there it's just very stylized.
Yeah.
But it makes it look kind of choppy. Into the Spider-Verse also did this, probably a more popular example. But a lot of games this year in their cinematic trailers were doing that style. And I'll be interested to see. I think that could work really well in a game where you're literally working off frame per second. So that's something I'll be interested to see if games kind of bring that more into the mechanical side of things instead of just the cinematic side. But are there anything in particular that stuck out to you guys that you thought was worth
noting? Since you brought that up, South of Midnight.
Yes.
Looks
a very cool style.
Incredible. It's got a cool like Louisiana dilapidated setting, which I think is interesting rather than just like, you know.
And it's very, it leans heavily into the kind of mysticism of like, like you're riding on this giant toad that's talking to you in a Louisiana accent.
Yeah.
And you're in the trailer that I saw, they're kind of, she's riding him and they're moving through the bayou, but then he talks about this alligator that you're going to have to fight if you want to get past this area. Cause I don't think they're looking for it, but it shows up And then it turns out it's not an alligator. It's a city on the back of an alligator.
Right.
Like, yeah, that's the scale of creatures that you're working with in this game. Florida.
Yeah.
But further east, I guess. So it looks really interesting. The style is really cool. The characters seem really interesting.
Yeah.
Combat looked, obviously I haven't played it, but it looks a little floaty. So I'll be interested to see how that plays out. But it definitely had enough charm and enough character that I want to see a lot more about that game anyway. Yeah. Let's talk about the Xbox Game Showcase first.
Okay.
We'll do it by show.
Yeah, that'll work. That
sounds good. We'll start with Doom.
Doom.
Who doesn't think Doom looks cool?
Looks incredible. Sounds incredible.
Doom looks like the best Doom game
ever. The best dadgum Doom game.
Dadgum, man. That looks like a good Doom game.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
You get a shield this time that you can throw and bounce around, and I love that.
Yeah. I do actually love that too. Yeah.
You have a shotgun, even though it takes a
shotgun this time.
Medieval times
with all these huge. At the end of the trailer, there's like a mech that you're in, just punching stuff.
Makes no sense. But you're flying
on the back of some weird bird creature that's like shooting lasers out of its mouth.
Yep.
It's very Doom.
It's feeding another demon lasers.
Feeding is a very polite way of putting it. Yeah, I'm not sure that monster will ever eat again.
Yeah.
That might be their last meal.
Yeah. But
they definitely are doing that.
Yeah.
They need an antacid.
We'll see how that goes, but that's one of those games where I'm like, sure, man. I'll always play another Doom game if it's by that studio.
Yeah.
So I'm hyped about that, but it's kind of a known quantity. So
Well, it's like, this is the best Xbox showcase they've had in...
Yeah,
5 years.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
I mean, they've had a lot of, because the problem is they announced Scalebound and a remake of Phantom Dust and all these other projects, and then just killed them all off.
Yeah,
and then they haven't had anything like.
Well, they've
for a while.
They've been working overtime to burn all their goodwill anyway with all the new studio closures and stuff like that. So, you know, I wasn't really going in there with a lot of optimism.
No, I don't think anybody was, and I think that's why everybody was so surprised.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure none of these are exclusives that we saw. They'll be on Xbox, but I don't think I saw anything that is Xbox exclusive that I was like, they're back on track.
Yeah.
They're doing it. So, and like you said, hold your breath for anything that's being made by a studio that Microsoft owns, because...
Yeah. Right.
I think we've talked on a past episode about them just burning perfectly good studios, Hi-Fi Rush.
Yeah.
I'm a little more optimistic about the Fable game coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Will that be an exclusive? They always have been.
Exclusive is not on PS5. But I mean, it'll definitely be on Game Pass PC.
Yeah, that's the thing, is like, it's hard to talk about console exclusives.
Xbox and PC are kind of becoming one.
That's another big shift since I've sat down and watched a week's worth of game show.
Yeah, no kidding.
Announcements is PC is a totally different monster than it used to be. It used to be considered, you know, kind of its own console. Like, that was where stuff like RTSs came out, and to some extent like MMOs, CRPGs. But now it's just an extension of Microsoft.
Right.
Like that, they. Yeah. Seem to be very consciously putting everything they can on PC.
Yeah.
So you even see Diablo on Steam now. You see the Master Chief Collection on Steam now. So and you're even seeing PS5 games on Steam.
And I'm in favor of that. Like, I love that.
Yeah,
Break down all the walls. Yeah. But it does put their console in an awkward position where they don't seem to really need it all that much. If you want a console, it's good to have Microsoft's console as an option.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to invest in a PC.
Right.
But overall, it's like, you use a PC for so many things. Who doesn't have a PC? And if you pay $18 a month, you can stream Xbox games. So you don't even need the hardware anymore.
Yeah.
So they're really kind of, I know we just trashed them, but they are kind of attacking from all sides in terms of accessibility, which is nice.
Yeah. Well, one thing I think, well, you know, other than just saying it's coming to Game Pass, it was saying it was coming to Game Pass and PC.
Yeah.
So, like, Game Pass to PC, because some games on Game Pass you can't play on your PC.
Right, that's true, yeah.
So they kind of emphasized that basically after every single game they showed. I think they were really trying to push this PC agenda that they've been doing lately.
Yeah.
So, which, that could be true. Everybody's benefit, is I think, is only better.
I agree. Do so. Yeah, definitely, because I haven't had a console since PS4.
I've got a Series X.
I just don't need one.
I'll probably be playing a lot of the newer stuff on the Series X.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That I feel comfortable using a controller for, like Fable for one, or.
But that's what's nice is they give you the option. Now. Yeah, I've got you know, they're really trying to lean heavily into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So another game that I thought looked really interesting, but don't have much to say about, is State of Decay 3.
Okay. State of Decay 3.
That is a cool, like the trailer that I watched was mostly cinematic, but it had a big focus on cooperative gameplay and like people coming get together from different spaces that they're not necessarily a team, but it was like when someone needs help, everybody shows up to help them.
Right.
Which I'm sure will play out very differently in a gameplay sense, but.
You're really making sure that mic works.
It's my fault for getting his mic hot. Okay.
No.
But I just think that game is the kind of game that when I look at it, I'm like, yeah, I'd play that with Ryan.
I thought State of Decay 2 did a lot of things right. I never played the first one, but the second one did a lot of things right.
I never really got into it, but I've heard a lot of the people that have played it are like, it's a jank game with a ton of good ideas.
Yeah, you have to have friends to play it, I think, and that's why I ended up not playing anymore, is because no one was playing it with me.
It's tough.
It's very tough by yourself because there's a lot to manage, so if you have friends, they can help pick up that slack.
Yeah.
And it becomes a lot more manageable and a lot more fun.
And there's a lot of like sending NPCs to do stuff as well, right? But NPCs have relationship dynamics with you where they can like leave if you're not doing what
like,
you want.
There's like quests that you just don't have time to do, and then there's like relationships that just fall, and there's people that die
because of the you mean because of the base building element that like there's just so much stuff to do
because of everything
on a time frame that you just can't.
You're constantly needing some sort of resource or you will lose. So you're constantly having to go out and hunt, and then you constantly have quests that each have time limits on when you can accept them. If you run out of time, you can no longer accept that quest, and then people will not like you because you didn't do a certain thing. So it's just like you constantly have 10 things to do, and you have to pick three of them. So if you have friends, a party of four would just be amazing, because your list of things doesn't climb. You just have less things to do with more friends. So I'm interested to see what State of Decay 3 does. I'll will be watching out for it and seeing what.
Updates are will be. They have my attention, but I guess not my curiosity at this point. I need to see more mechanics of how that, like what they've added, how it's going to look minute to minute.
Every time I've played it, I've always been like, I don't know. It's just like it's never really hit for me. So I'm hoping maybe this time it will.
Yeah, I agree.
It was kind of the zombie game I was looking for,
right?
If I had friends to play it.
I've never been super interested in zombies in general. Like, I don't find zombies compelling as a concept most of the time.
Yeah.
Unless there's like a very interesting twist on their behavior or something. But State of Decay has a lot of other mechanics. Yeah. And like, I'm interested in the people in a zombie apocalypse.
I didn't like the. I think
it focuses more on that.
I didn't like the base building. But it was a more realistic base building where it's like you're not going to play in a zombie apocalypse or live in a zombie apocalypse and build bases like Minecraft. But it was more realistic where you like take over like a gas station and you like fortify it and things like that.
Okay.
That sounds potentially interesting to me, depending on like, do you have to abandon that or like.
You had to clear out the hearts. There's like, I don't remember what they call them, but they're basically like these big hearts, and you'll know you're near one because there's like red mist in the air and you have to shoot it and blow it up. And then that will reduce the zombie count in that area.
Okay.
I like the idea of systematically making a place slightly less dangerous by doing lots of different things. Like, you know what I mean? Like each thing you do helps a little bit towards relative safety. That as a concept sounds interesting.
But right.
Like you said, we'll just have to see what it plays out like. So, a controversial pick for me. I've heard nothing but people complaining about this game. But the new Dragon Age game.
Indeed.
Which is a cinematic trailer. Everybody's complaining about the visual style. Like a lot of people. I don't see any problem with it. Like, I don't really understand what why people are so disgruntled about the visual style.
They say it looks too much like Fortnite. like high cheekbones kind of style instead of it being more dark and gritty and like the original like Origins and such.
If by dark and gritty you mean like really like janky looking character models, then yeah, it does have less of that.
Yeah.
But the last Dragon Age came out a long time ago.
Yeah.
And didn't exactly have its own unique art style.
Like 10 years ago, like, I think.
Dragon Age 2 had a pretty unique art style to it. Mm-hmm. But Inquisition was just like very boilerplate fantasy.
Mm-hmm. It was like the
writing
medieval that fantasy.
Made it interesting. Like, yeah. So I don't like, it's not like they just went in a totally different direction. They just went in a direction to me.
The thing about for me, as I've never really gotten into the Dragon Age games a whole lot. Like I like the idea, but every time I played them, they just never hit.
They're
maybe like 10 hours for each of them
in a lot of ways.
But the combat has never been the same each game. Mm-hmm. And I think that kind of frustrates fans because now they're going basically all action RPG. They've showed the gameplay trailer on Tuesday, this past Tuesday, and so
I don't know. Like there are elements of the Dragon Age series that I want, and that's a character driven RPG
with
like decision making trees that matter.
Yeah.
And beyond that, like because it's always been different, they can kind of do whatever they want in terms of like me gauging my excitement. It doesn't hinge on, well, why can't I cast a fireball every 10 seconds and watch my party like do sword attacks that just go straight through the enemy's animation like their characters, like none of it has ever been
that great.
It really, like, you are playing it despite that in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like Inquisition's combat never hit for me.
No.
Because you're swinging if you're a sorcerer and you're just swinging your staff around, like, it looks kind of cool. Looks cool at first for the first 5 minutes. And then you're like, okay, why?
But you don't really, like, in those games, and hopefully the real time combat in this one will be a better version of that. But in Inquisition, it's like, it looks like you're doing something, but you can't do a whole lot to pivot the pace of the combat.
Correct.
There's not a lot you can do to speed it up or slow it down. It's always just these attacks do these numbers. You cast them as soon as you can, like an MMO. And that's not
that's a good way to
compelling
put it.
To me.
Yeah.
So I'm not crying any tears over the shift in direction of it.
Yeah.
But I think they're overwhelmingly, you know, the age of the internet has made it to where people like complaining.
Yeah,
like
agreed.
They just find joy in being negative about things, and or at least they feel like it's joy, but it's actually just like commiseration of the world and how bad everything is. It's like watching these trailers, like the chat. Oh my god, I turned every chat off because it's like, everyone is so overwhelmingly, that things that I was genuinely excited about, it was just like L all the way down.
A barrage of negativity.
I'm like, why?
I think people feel like they seem more intelligent when they disagree.
It's cool not to like
this. Right, I agree. Yeah. Well, that was one thing, my frustration about Summer Game Fest, is that people were like, oh, dude, that was an F. If I had to give that rating, it'd be an F. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude, the fact that, I don't know. But, but I'm like, the fact that we're even getting still game shows, I mean, that's a miracle in and of itself, because E3 is no longer, you know, it's all disbanded. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm excited. It's like, you know, we had the State of Play, and it's like, just because it doesn't have every single game that you want, you know, like it doesn't have the Wolverine game, it doesn't have all this other stuff. It's like, dude, it's because that takes time.
Yeah.
I mean, Dragon Age, the new Dragon Age, or the Inquisition came out 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I was like, why isn't the combat like Baldur's Gate 3? And I'm like, because they've been working on it probably for 10 freaking years.
Because when they made that last game, they were done with it. And then they spent 10 years thinking, how can we change this for the better?
Right.
And in general, people see trends in games that they want to follow, either because marketing tells them, hey, this makes the number go up. And if you want money for your game, then we got to do what the publisher wants us to.
Right.
Or they're like, oh, this is just a better way of doing this old system.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Right.
Like, I don't really, the negativity in games, I think, comes strongly from just a culture of negativity that has kind of permeated the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really tried to just close the chat.
Yeah.
Just go watch the trailer and be like, is this something that seems interesting to me.
Yeah.
And honestly, if you think AAA games are just like collectively bad, there's probably an argument for that, that like AAA games have gotten overall a little worse.
Yeah.
Or a little too similar to each other.
I think the huge thing about AAA games is just the amount of money they ask for after you've bought the game.
That's the thing, right?
And like, that's the trend
with mobile with games or with anything with microtransactions, games as a service, Fortnite, stuff like that. They can do the things they do because the money is pouring in from people buying microtransactions all the time.
Yeah.
If you make a game like Forsaken, which has plenty of its own problems, I understand that, but that game is going to be what it is when it comes out, and it's probably not going to change very much, and it's probably not going to change very many times because they have to move on to the next game because there is no source of income for them from that game anymore.
Right.
That's how games used to be.
Right.
And there's a very romanticized image of video games in people's heads where they're like, I wish it was like when Super Nintendo was around and games came out finished and they were good and they were complete. That's not true, bro. Yeah. Those games were 2 hours long, and half the time they were a glitchy mess of some licensing thing.
And that took a fraction of the time to make.
Yeah, and it was three people making a game. Like, games are not the same monster that they used to be.
And so, they would just reiterate the same games over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, and it's the same assets. I hope you want a platformer. If you're going to buy a Super Nintendo.
Yep.
Like, there's just so many things that are just a situation where it's rose-colored glasses.
Just
imagine that things were better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it's easy to forget the little details between those good moments.
Mm-hmm.
And nostalgia just kind of colors that entire memory.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So what I'm saying is, stop being so negative about games. There are plenty of great games out there. And if you feel like AAA games are getting worse or just leaving a zone that you care about where you're just not interested in what those games are, indie games are up and at them. Games are better than they've ever been, and
they're
only getting better.
Indie games, AA games, you know what I mean, they're pushing some kind of, you know, they're trying to try other different narratives with a bunch of cool stuff. And I'm just like,
huge game that we all talked about was the Clair Obscur. It's called Clair Obscur Expedition 33. The art style looks so gorgeous.
Cinematically, it's just very impressive.
It's like this very ethereal feeling of like these like impossibly high mountains and these very strange looking trees that are like everything kind of looks like it's like slowly incorporating into each other. You know what I mean? Like it's like everything is not necessarily fragmented, but it's like being visually pulled apart in a weird way that looks super cool.
And
the concept sounds really interesting. It's like a
They kind of throw out the storyline there, just like
there's
a lot of mystery to it.
Like it sounds like the kind of, they tell you just enough, I think, to kind of pique your interest that there's like a painter that is this being that wakes up and paints a number on this like distant island that yeah, back in my youth, I was the painter. So, and then every year, a generation of people disappear when she paints this new number. And it's like counting down, which I think is important.
It's erasing everyone of that age that she paints.
I think so, because he says like everyone of that age disappears.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he meant age as in like cultural, like segment of the population or what. But anyway, so they keep sending these expeditions of people out to stop this painter, and they never succeed.
Yeah.
But the combat is this really interesting mix of, like, it looks like Final Fantasy style turn-based combat.
Yeah.
But it's got like the reaction subsystem of like getting a perfect hit will do bonus damage, which I really like that style.
And I'm not a huge fan of.
But I love it.
I don't like, what's it called? Where you A pops up on the screen, you have to hit A.
Fun is what you're thinking of. You don't like fun.
Push A. You pushed A. Good job.
Yeah, but did you push it at the right time?
Oh, my bad.
Actually, I think that might be why you not like
the combat. Reminded me of Legend of the Dragon.
Quick time event.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, we actually had it hit it in succession, and that's you increase your combo.
Different attacks have different amounts of.
And the speed of the attacks. Different.
Yeah.
So but
you perform different attacks.
I don't know.
It also looked like you could dodge. And you could counter if you hit the,
well,
which makes it more engaging.
So
I just don't like when they throw the button up on the screen and they tell you to push it.
I mean, I get it.
But I don't like it. Like, yeah.
Okay.
You feel like it breaks immersion a little bit.
It definitely does, but it just does. It also doesn't.
I hate feel... when they put the names of your attacks up on the screen in a turn-based system. I'm like, I've memorized all these
already. It's like, push A, and your character will reload their gun, and then fire a beam in the air, and then that's going to target a satellite, and then the satellite will shoot a beam, and you pushed A. You did all that. Good job.
Are you describing JRPGs right now?
Yeah.
No, just like... Any game.
I hate when you press a button and then like the dragoon jumps in the air with the spear and then comes back down with the spear. All I did was press A, bro. I want
to
really
jump. It's like if a movie was like, hold on, Tom Cruise is about to do something. Push A first.
For him to jump.
Yeah.
You missed that jump. Wow. Tom Cruise broke his ankle, man.
Such a good game.
Okay.
It's like, just let the thing happen. And anyone can push A.
Yeah.
I hate to tell you this, but if I could watch a movie with Tom Cruise in it and then I missed
the
button prompt and he fell and broke both of his legs, I would like that movie so much more.
Yeah, that would be a good movie. Yeah. I take back everything.
Yeah. But it looks really interesting. Cool story. Great art style.
Super into it. I'm ready for it.
And combat that at least one of us is interested in. So.
Oh, I'm interested in the combat. Yeah. I just don't like that specific
thing. Yeah,
like,
okay. I get you.
I can definitely get past that for sure.
Yeah. Maybe you'll be able to turn off the QuickTime stuff. Maybe it'll just, if you want, you could just have turn-based.
Well, it's just, A button should do a thing.
Yeah. I'm just saying it looks cool. You guys should check it out.
Yeah.
That's it.
Looks gorgeous. Looks truly next gen.
We talked about South of Midnight. Flintlock.
Flintlock
is a cool game that has a demo out now that you can play. I have played.
I don't know if the demo is on consoles.
I played it on PC.
So I only played it on PC as well. So,
But it's really interesting. The combat feels a lot like Remnant, which is for those who haven't played Remnant. Feels like a Dark Souls game that's a little floatier. It's
Gears of War meets Dark Souls.
Yeah, much, and in the trailer, it looks much more cinematic, which it can be for sure.
Mm-hmm. This one definitely doesn't have like, it's not a cover shooter.
Not at all. So it's not. So it takes place in like the, it's like thematically like 1700s swashbuckling kind of aesthetic, like technology, all that stuff. Flintlock. She has a flintlock pistol.
Yeah.
And you're playing a character who basically is going into this zone. There's like this giant bubble enclosing it, but the dead keep coming out of it.
Ugh. Yeah.
And so you're leading an expedition to try and stop them. Mm-hmm. But what you actually end up doing is inadvertently destroying the barrier. And it turns out that all these gods lived inside the barrier and they were at least somehow responsible or connected to all these dead coming out, but now they just have free reign in your world.
Yeah.
So you make a deal with a lesser god to help you kill all of the gods that you inadvertently let out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's got like a God of War element to the open world exploration that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
The combat, like I said, is a little floaty, but you get a lot of options in terms of how deep the mechanics are. Enki is the god that you strike a deal with, and he does a lot of cool stuff. Like, he has a dedicated button where if you target an enemy and press it, he'll like shock them and build up a meter above their health. And the higher that meter is, the easier they become to kill. It basically lowers their defense.
Yeah.
But you can spread that out across multiple enemies, or you can triple down on one enemy or whatever. And there's a whole thing with multiple skill trees, and you can give him new abilities and stuff. Really interesting, really like fun to just like play around with combos and stuff.
Yeah. It has great movement too. You can do like this crazy triple jump.
Mm-hmm.
It's just fun. Yeah, it seems really like a lot of fun to explore, and movement seems to be more kind of like capitalized on.
Well, that's the thing. So my partner was playing it and she was just like getting the hang of it. She had just started trying it. But the jump is like very forgiving in the sense that like she's going from platform to platform and she like jumps like to the right of the platform.
Yeah.
And even though she's basically jumping away from the platform, the character model was close enough that she just grabbed the ledge on her.
Okay. Own. Nice.
So I like that kind of like,
instead of like smashing her side of her face and completely, or just like falling and
you're like, why did you
grab it?
So it could like
be a double-edged sword though, where you're making an intentional movement and your character goes, I'm going to grab that ledge instead.
Yes. It didn't. So
which is Assassin's Creed. What
I
played,
I was going to say, it does not have that Assassin's Creed element of where you're like, stop, I literally am telling you to do the opposite of this.
I want to climb over the window, not through the window.
Why did you just jump off the roof of this building and die?
I have to climb all the way back up.
Yeah. But the story of that sounds really interesting. Yeah. I like the art style. It's not like super original, but I think the tone of it fits really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The monster designs are super cool. Yeah. I really like the
way that's what I loved about monsters. Remnant was... Excellent.
Monsters and this one, there's like a character that runs a coffee shop, and you'll clear out these little villages, and then once you do that, they'll give you new quests and stuff. Yeah. And the first one you clear out, you go into the coffee shop, there's like a person in this big brown cloak. They look super tall, but they're laying over it like they've died.
Yeah.
And there's like a mask laying on the table in front of them, but they... When they stand up, they're like 9 or 10 feet tall, and these two black arms, like Studio Ghibli style, come out of the hood and pick up the mask, and it looks like they're going to put it on, but they have no head, so it just floats where they put it, but their hands become the neck.
Yeah, it's very cool.
And the mask there, and it looks really cool.
Yeah.
And there's just lots of cool designs like that for creatures and monsters and characters and all sorts of stuff. So that alone made me really interested, and it's on Game Pass.
It is on Game Pass. It's a AA game, and it is made by the people who made Ashen. So
yes, I don't think I didn't play Ashen that I'm aware of, but I might as well go back now, right? Now I can play it before the new one comes out. Really quick, Perfect Dark.
Perfect Dark looks good.
I can't believe that game exists. It's real.
I agree.
It's happening.
Yeah.
I think so. I don't know why I'm coughing all of a sudden.
But it looks like you can have multiple paths and scenarios, but you can like record people's voices and then play those voices for like security measures. Mm-hmm. I think that's cool. I think the traversal looks really interesting.
That's why I said Deus Ex, because it looks like mentally the style of Deus Ex.
Yeah. And I know you love Deus Ex.
Like multiple approaches to solving a problem.
Yeah.
A lot of like detective stuff, in the sense that you're like hacking stuff and
seems more eavesdropping on
people. Very espionage focused, but the gunplay still looks really good.
Yes,
there's like a like cover based, but it's still first person.
Yeah.
I'll be watching that game. It looks really cool.
Fragpunk. Not super into shooters, but this shooter looks pretty dope.
Really interesting idea. So imagine Valorant. It's a 5-on-5 PvP shooter game. Mm-hmm. Anyway, 5-on-5 multiplayer shooter, but you get these cards that completely change some element of the game. So it's got this really cool like graffiti super high contrast art style. There's one card that makes like super tall grass just grow everywhere on the map all of a sudden, so you can like hide in the grass. There's one that makes every enemy's head super big, so it gets really easy to do headshots.
Incredibly
there's one clever. That turns the world upside down. So it's like very significant changes to the level, and I don't know if you like build a deck or if you get these things, you know, randomly throughout the match.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see if that's like power ups you find or like rewards for getting kills, or if you can go in with a deck.
Yeah, like ready. How do you get new cards once you've used them?
Right.
How do you resupply?
Can I just get matched with a game and then smash 5 cards and watch chaos?
Yeah, how many can you use at once? And like if you can make the deck ahead of time versus you get them at random and have to figure out the best way to use them, which I would probably prefer, because I don't want to play that one guy who figured out the perfect combination of cards and just crushes them all at the beginning of the match.
Yeah.
Stuck upside down with a big head while he's hiding in the grass. But
And you like have a grass allergy.
And then you start sneezing, so they know exactly where you are. Anyway. Yeah. But it looks like it has a ton of potential. So
yeah.
2025, it's not coming out.
Which is probably best, because there's a lot of shooters coming out this year.
A lot of games that were announced are 2024 games this year, which is really cool.
Some are already freaking out that they talked about. There was the DLC for Alan Wake, and they were like, oh, it's out.
Yeah,
it's next day.
So I didn't put that on my list, but that looks really cool, because you play as the director from Control the Alan Wake world, which I'm really interested in, because I really wanted to see more of her story.
Okay, cool.
So I think that'll be really interesting.
Yeah.
But is it like a side story, or is it DLC in the sense that I have to buy Alan Wake to play this.
You probably not.
Because I've never played any Alan Wake game.
The first one was great. I don't know how well it's aged. I know they did a remaster of it, though.
Yeah,
I haven't played the remaster. I haven't played the remaster, but I loved to play in the first one.
I mean, the people who've played 2 seems to really like
it. I haven't played 2 yet, but I want to. It's been on my wish list.
I think it's... I'm excited to see them bring those two universes together in a much more direct way. And apparently, the new... Max Payne game that they're working on also exists in that universe.
In the same universe, yeah.
So,
well, it's like Alex Casey, one of the detectives from Alan Wake 2, looks like the old Max Payne.
Oh, interesting.
So this is becoming like, Fortnite.
Huh?
This is becoming Fortnite.
Yeah. Well, it's also, I think...
Why is Captain America out here?
The guy from Quantum Break is also in part of the DLC.
I guess that makes sense.
So it's like all their universes are tied together, but just somehow. But they
seem to do it in a really compelling way.
Yeah.
And not in like a forced, we just want you to play these other games kind of way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not Super Smash Brothers.
No.
But yes, that game looked really cool. Cute little game called Winter Burrow about like a mouse that you like have to survive the winter by growing food and stuff, like a farming sim. Looks really cool. Check that out if you guys want. More importantly, Mecha Break looks pretty dang cool.
Yeah. It does look cool.
Yeah, I will say every time I see a mech game, I get a little excited, and then I lose interest.
And then you get a little sad.
Yeah, after trying it. Like, the mech designs are just always so great, but then the gameplay is just not there for me.
This
one
looks...
We'll see. This one looks the most promising of ones. I didn't even play Zone... Or,
Armored Core?
Armored Core. What was it called? Ruby?
Fires of Rubicon.
Yeah, Fires of Rubicon.
Ruby. I didn't either, but just because of what... else was coming out around that time.
It
was
Ruby Sapphire?
Too many games.
Yeah.
But so this one is basically like, it looks like a hyper-customizable, like tons of parts, tons of color combinations, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like very personal.
I'll download a game just to build a mech and color it.
You know I will.
If you give me some good customization options.
But it looks like it has some depth to it that I haven't seen in other mech games in the sense that... So first of all, you transform into a jet. All of them do. And there's like... dog fighting in the air. It looks like tons of like missiles, like dodging missiles and like very bombastic, very fast paced. But then at any point in time, you can transform and fight on foot.
Can I transform into a fire truck?
DLC.
Okay.
I don't know the answer.
Yeah. Taxi, microwave.
Yeah.
Looks hyper customizable in the sense that. I said DLC, Ryan. Don't push it.
Yeah.
I offered to work with you on the fire truck. We're not doing a microwave.
Yeah.
But like one of the mechs in the trailer when they're fighting, the armor on it like explodes off of it so it can move faster. Like I love that idea of like having a mech that can fight in two very different modes of combat.
Yeah.
By
just
like
as your
permanently
opponent,
sacrificing one for the other or whatever.
Yeah.
Just as your opponent was figuring your play style out.
Mm. You have to go all out just this once. Yeah. Yep. It sounds really cool.
Yeah.
That game's also 2025, though, so hold your breath, I guess. Avowed.
Yeah.
Looks really interesting.
We're holding our breath for this one.
It's been in the works for a long time. Like, it's a Xbox was talking about it when...
It looks like Might and Magic. Like, you have a spell cast, like a spell book in one hand and a weapon in the other. So you're like, I guess by default, you're like a, what do they call that? Sword mage.
Battle mage. Everyone was waiting on Elder Scrolls 6, and then this company was like, Avowed. Did you everyone play Avowed instead? And then it like never came out, and now they're finally...
I hadn't actually seen it until I saw this trailer for it. Like, I'm sure I heard about it a long time ago, but it was in the back of my brain.
Well, they actually came out and said that they... their first trailer that they showed for it, the combat was kind of janky.
Okay.
And that there was a lot of... online talk about it, and they actually went back and reworked it. And so everybody enjoyed this trailer a whole lot more.
It looks way you're constantly combining attacks looks really interesting. And, of course, with a lot of different spells, you're going to have a ton of room for improvising or creating a very different build.
Yeah.
Like, artistically, it looks really cool. I think it's really interesting. It also has good monster design, which is important.
Yeah.
Nothing about it is just, like... wow, this is so different and unique.
Yeah, this is the game.
But it's just
yeah, but sometimes you just want a good RPG.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, sometimes I just want to like action, like it's first person. So it's like action, first person spell casting is already a pretty niche genre.
Yeah.
So more of that is always good. But this one looks like very action centric. Like the pace of it is very fast.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that's really cool.
And it is Obsidian. So
and it is Game Pass, I'm sure. So
yeah, I'm sure it is too. Yeah.
So what's the harm in getting excited, right?
Yeah.
Stalker 2.
Stalker 2. Mm-hmm.
I really like the structure of Stalker games, like the open world, fending for yourself, very strict.
This economy. Is the one that is multiplayer, right?
I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
This is the, is it the Shadows of Chernobyl?
This is Stalker 2, Heart of Chernobyl.
Heart of Chernobyl. Okay. This one I've been excited for a long time because it was
dope. Have you played, you've played the other Stalkers?
No.
At this point, you would need a significant amount of mods which do exist.
For a while, I got them confused with the other game that looks like them.
Mm-hmm. Remap, formerly known as Waypoint, mm-hmm. did a like a Twitch series on doing the old Stalker games, but with a bunch of mods mm-hmm. to try and modernize it to see how it holds up. So if you guys are interested in playing that until 2 comes out, that was a really cool streams, series of streams that they did.
Gotcha.
But this one just it looks really nice.
Yeah.
And like I said, I just love that tone. I love that universe. There's always sorts of like super weird stuff happening because you're fighting in an area that's so heavily irradiated. Yeah. So you're fighting like at one point in the trailer, he's like fighting a ball of energy that's like pulling concrete off the walls and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's not like Escape from Tarkov where it's, just a bunch of people scavenging and fighting
for each other. It's got a lot of horror elements.
Yes, it's got a lot of like in that, like,
which is why I want to play it multiplayer.
I don't know what you'd call it, like organic horror, where it's like there's a science behind the horror.
Yeah,
that I like a lot.
I just want to hear my friends screaming in the distance and trying to figure out what killed them. That's all I want to do.
Well, we did that once.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and it was a blast.
Yeah.
You died from a lightning strike while warning about lightning strikes.
Huh? Yeah. Guys, don't get hit by lightning like it.
Guys, that was amazing. So that looks really cool. I don't have a lot to say about that either, but just keep an eye on it
for sure.
That's Xbox Game Showcase. Let's jump to Devolver because that's what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
They had a ton of cool announcements and games. One really fun announcement is that they're doing a free update for Cult of the Lamb.
I saw that. Oh,
and
cool.
It's got local co-op.
I know your brother loves that game.
Yeah.
And I feel like he and his wife would love that game.
Yeah. And Haley is interested in playing that with me now.
Cool. So. And it was a cool trailer for it. They did like an animated, like cutscene that kind
of pulls his other player out of the water.
He's like all beat up, and a drop of his blood falls in a puddle and like creates a portal, a spell.
Yeah.
That was really cool. But that's not on my list, so we're not talking about that anymore. No. Stop talking about it.
Yeah.
The Crush House, which is a really, like, so we've already talked about
this. And we're not talking about this anymore because it's not on my list.
Yeah.
Okay.
Looks crazy.
There's a demo of this available now, and I've played a couple hours of it. I honestly, the trailer, I was like, meh, it's a funny concept, but it doesn't seem that engaging. So it's like a late 90s dating show. You run, and the point is that there's something weird and creepy happening in the basement of this big mansion up in the like California mountains, this big, beautiful space. But there's some weird, creepy thing happening downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to figure out what that is, you have to keep the show on the air. So each day it's random which demographics want to see.
Yeah.
But you're not ever supposed to talk to the contestants. They tell you that's like one of two rules is never talk to them.
Mm.
But at the end of the day, you can turn the recording off and you can go talk to them. And they'll be one of the ladies is like, my two nieces and nephews, I told them not to watch because this show is too corrupt for them.
Yeah.
But I know they're watching it anyway. So could you maybe not show people's butts?
Nice.
And you can accept a quest from her where you for a whole day, you don't record any butts at all.
Okay.
But then, of course, the next day, one of my demographics was butt
butts.
Yeah.
And you can ignore one out of, you know, however many you have to
right, please. Yeah.
But it was like, you really, it's pretty tight how much you have to record always getting points. Mm. It's pretty hard to actually complete it.
Yeah.
But you earn money for showing, anytime you stop recording, it'll automatically start showing commercials. So you have to do that certain amounts of time because the money you get from commercials is how you buy new stuff for the mansion.
Oh, okay.
To get them to do new things together or whatever.
Interesting.
So there's a lot of stuff going on, and the trailer doesn't really show any of that.
Yeah.
It just looks like this off-the-wall dating sim with some kind of horrible secret.
It looks like it doesn't show you the points or leveling up or demographics. It just shows you people hugging and kissing and hugging fighting. And kissing and fighting.
And that's it.
And then for a split second shows this crazy looking
brain
connected to a bunch of cables at the bottom.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's it.
That's it.
So I really wish they
I think the trailer was meant to pique your curiosity. Like, here's this game. Oh, it's not what you think. You should play it.
I think they could have done a better job of that.
Exactly.
But I would recommend anybody go check out the demo.
Okay.
I think you can play through a whole season in the demo. I failed. I couldn't get past day 3.
Oh, okay.
But you have a whole selection of people at the beginning, but in the demo you only have 4.
Oh, okay.
So that's kind of the hook, is that you can keep doing it over and over again.
Yeah.
But you just can't see all the different types of people you could recruit.
Until you give me your money.
The other one's Tenjutsu, which we don't have to talk about.
Yeah, looks
for
good.
Super long, but
this looks like some fun.
It's made by the guy who made Dead Cells.
Yeah.
And you can really see that in the visual style. Mm-hmm. The way the combat is like super flashy and like every hit like drops frames for a split second to make it look really cool.
Yeah, and we all agree. Do we just also want an anime that's about Tenjutsu? So,
yeah,
for sure. Then, yes, it's got like the cutscenes have
call it Tenjutsu Kaisen.
Looks like a 90s anime where they still hand drew everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm gonna ignore that.
I love that style too. That
Jujutsu Kaisen
anime.
Is the only Kaisen I need. Mm. And so yeah, it's super cool. Looks really stylistic. The combat's going to be great because it's Dead Cells developers.
Looks fun.
So.
Yeah.
And then Possessors also has this super flashy looking combat, very stylized, like anime style, but it's not so pixelated like. Tenjutsu is, but there's a lot of overlap in what those two games look like.
Yeah,
it's 2:00. That's okay. We'll go through. Okay, so Summer Games Fest, really quick. At any point, if you guys want to talk about the game, just jump in. But I'll just go through some games that I think people should see. If you're not hyped, these are the trailers you should watch and see if it gets you hyped.
I'm hyped, man. I'm hyped.
The First Descendant.
Yes.
The cinematic trailer didn't show any gameplay.
No.
But the monster design was incredible. I really like the style. It's kind of like a Metal Gear Solid style CG where everyone is wearing super clean, high-tech armor that looks like it's from the future, but they're fighting in these big, open, organic spaces where it's all just nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the definition of it is next generation third person co-op action adventure RPG shooter.
I can't believe with the amount of time that we have left, you would choose to read that description.
And
you've
we're out of time.
A quarter of the time.
That's right.
Okay, so Monster Hunter Wilds.
Oh man, we're all gonna buy it. We're all gonna play it.
Yeah.
And we're not gonna do the podcast for a couple months when it comes out.
Yeah. You guys will just have to watch the live streams. That's the best I can offer you.
That's right.
It has lots of really cool features.
Yeah. Incredible. All the new updates they're gonna do.
It looks like the environments will change in real time.
Yeah.
Like at one point the dust gets blown away and it becomes like prairie land instead of a desert.
Yeah.
That looked really cool.
Incredible. Yeah, you can open up your map and choose quests while you're in the world
that
rather
can't
than
be true.
It's true.
I'm gonna
these,
die of
these
a heart
new
attack
these
right
new details
now.
Coming out, man.
Dude, that's actually amazing.
Sounds incredible
about that.
Yeah.
Warhammer 40K Space Marine 2.
I didn't think
really
I'd
cool.
be pumped for it, but after seeing
extremely
that,
violent. It's really cool. It's got
it
three
me.
Player co-op. That's awesome.
Only a three player.
Three players, not four.
Your fourth friend will be sad.
Super customizable and also like very fast paced for a for a Warhammer game.
Yeah.
Like a lot of like rocket jumping and into enemies and stuff like that. Yeah.
Even like fidelity wise, it looks really good.
Oh yeah, graphically, I was really impressed.
Yeah.
So I really liked the original that I'm pretty sure was a PlayStation 2 game.
I don't know.
It was one of those games where I played it because Space Marine looked cool.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, it's actually pretty fun.
Yeah.
And no one else had ever heard of it.
Nice. So
it's cool that it's getting a sequel.
Yeah.
That looks good. Metaphor, Refantasia.
Oh, man. You and me, Jared.
You guys don't need to know anything other than it's Persona in like Middle Ages. It's got a new combat system
that
looks really cool. It borrows a lot from Persona, but it's got wholly new mechanics built into it, apparently. It sounds really interesting. Looks really interesting.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the demons from any of the Shin Megami Tensei series.
Yeah.
It's all new designs.
Which is a welcome.
I'm really excited about that. Yeah. And the designs look really cool. They're all like armor.
Yeah.
They're all just different types of really cool looking armor that you summon, basically.
Looks incredible.
Cuff Bust. Where you're a bunch of space koalas breaking out of a prison.
Yes. Yeah.
Looks like fun.
It looks like a blast.
Bombastic
like,
fun.
Yes, it's very much like the you have to coordinate to escape.
Yeah.
But it's also like super
top. There's so much chaos happening. I'm not even sure like exactly how it's playing. Like it looks like there's 100 players at a time. Mm-hmm. Like Fall Guys or something.
Yeah.
It does look like there's like 20 or 30 people in the prison.
Yeah.
And like you can choose to work together, but it's like however many people you can get on the same page
right.
is how many will help you. You may only have 3, you may have 30. It doesn't
like you said, they might sabotage you because that's what it looks like.
One of the examples is like they break into the security room so that they can say over the intercom where the security guards are for everybody else to escape.
Yeah.
And then they like blow up a toilet to dive into the sewers or whatever. So it's like very over the top, but it looks pretty fast paced, which I, a lot of these games tend to be for me on the like slower side.
Yeah.
So I think it looks really cool. Very, very ridiculous.
Yeah.
Which is we're all into. And then future game show, Sacrifier, just real quick is like a 90s style kind of pixely turn-based RPG.
Looks cool.
But when the enemies, and I assume you cast your spells, they happen in real time, and it's like a bullet hell. So you are in real time dodging all these projectiles from the enemy so that you can get close enough to then cast your spells, and then time freezes when you select your abilities.
Yeah.
So that you can kind of like choose. And then, of course, each one is kind of like Grandia, where it will like attack a defined geometric space.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like a cool balance of real time, like dodging and...
Nice.
Okay. Parcel Corp.
Yes.
Parcel Corp looks really cool.
Mm-hmm. Looks cool.
It is, I described it as part Crazy Taxi, part Jet Set, where you're riding a bike delivering packages. No, that's
not. Nice. Okay.
So you're riding bikes delivering packages, and you are like picking them up from different people and building relationships with them by delivering them on time.
Yeah.
Don't know a lot of details about it yet, but the art style is really nice. And it's been a while since I've played a game that's that like frenetic and and like Tony Hawk style mobility.
But at the same time, they're coming out with a skate game.
Yep.
Skate 4, Not on my list because I didn't really see enough about it. They just had Tim Robinson in the trailer.
A great
choice.
And then didn't 30 skaters on a half pipe.
Just like dropping objects in real time as people are climbing up this building. I think, for me, the last one worth mentioning might be Enter the Chronosphere. I think that game looks super cool.
Does look cool.
Unique, anyway, maybe. Just check it out. That's all I'm saying.
Yep.
Was that the pixel, like, is that the pixel graphics one?
No, I don't think so.
With the combat where when you're picking a skill, the time freezes?
Oh, no, that was Sacrifier.
That was Sacrifier.
That was Sacrifier. This is going to make me watch a trailer. I'm trying to remember what the art style looks like. Filling for time. Currently filling.
Okay. My ones, my few that I just had is...
It's the Boomerang Foo slash...
Right.
Yeah. Oh, where, yeah, like, that's right. That's right.
Whenever you are selecting where to shoot... time freezes, but otherwise there's like dozens of enemies all around you. You're constantly like rolling away from them and stuff. Yes, looks cool.
Is Eric Sholm, The Stolen Dream.
Mm-hmm. Like a stealth.
I'm not sure. It's like story. Takes place in the early 1900s.
Yeah. I would say late 1800s to early 1900s.
Yeah. Just looks interesting. Don't really know much about it. Graphically, it looks you're really looking cool.
For your brother who's in trouble with the police. You're trying to find him before they do. But the woman who is watching you, which is apparently not your mother, in the trailer, she's talking about how she tried to bring you into something that you and your brother decided you didn't want to be a part of. So I'm assuming something illegal. And now she's mad that you've brought the police to her door.
Right.
But it turns out it wasn't you, the troublemaker. Yeah. It was your brother, who's apparently not the troublemaker.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like stealth elements. You're like in the trailer, you're dragging bodies behind walls and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It looks really interesting. The art style is really nice. Looks very clean, very pretty. I think that game looks cool.
They did announce a new Life is Strange, so I'm excited about that.
I missed that.
Double Exposure.
That's right.
Double Exposure. Has the same character from the original Max Caulfield, so I'm excited about that.
Conceptually, that game looks really cool.
Yeah.
Your friend gets murdered, and then somehow you like awaken a power that lets you step into a parallel universe where she didn't die.
Yeah.
So you're simultaneously trying to solve her murder by figuring out who did it and prevent the murder in the universe that you're in.
Correct. Yeah. So sounds really cool. Another mystery thriller. Mondays. That I think is that'll get you.
Mondays. Yeah.
I'm excited about Still Wakes the Deep, but that comes out Tuesday, I think.
Wow.
Comes to Game Pass. Yeah.
We'll definitely check that
I'm
out.
I'm excited about
that.
That's cool. And then
give them the last one, Taylan. This is the big one for us.
Get out of here, man. I'm actually excited. Well, one, just real quick, is...
Just real quick.
So fast, let me sit here.
I'm curious to see how the new Gears is going to be.
It's a prequel.
The prequel.
So
they said they're going back to...
It's in a weird spot because there's so many features that they've slowly included that they're going to have to take back out,
we're gonna see. Like. They said they're going more horror themed this time.
They said it's a much smaller space that is very detailed.
Yeah,
and so, lived in.
It'll probably come to Game Pass. So,
oh, it definitely will come to Game Pass.
Yeah, so, I can't imagine it won't.
But so. I'm excited to see.
That's
and
one
then,
of those games where I'm like, I'll play it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is or whatever. Yeah,
I'm so behind on the Gears like a lore.
Oh, me too. I have no idea what that but is. It's got. You know, Marcus and Dom back together, which is great. Yeah. And then the last one is Atom Fall. This is Rebellion's new game. Yes. And Rebellion is who makes the Sniper Elite series. Mm.
Yes.
But it's like a... I don't even know what time period it takes place in.
I don't know. I saw this trailer, but I'm it's muddied in with 100 other trailers.
So I'm curious to see what they do with it.
All I know is trailers and breathing, but this one, I don't know. There's one that you showed me before we started that blew me away.
Yes.
That's the one I was saying.
Yeah. I wasn't going to bring it up unless you wanted to bring it up. But it's called Ghost Keeper.
No, not that one.
No, not that one.
No, the winter one.
Ghost Keeper.
Oh,
so
yeah.
For people who've been listening to our podcast,
yes, dude.
They heard us. They heard us, guys. Haunting starring Polterguy.
That was your
hit. They're bringing it back.
Spiritual sequel.
It is
called Ghost Keeper. And it looks it is literally exactly what I was describing.
Yep.
I want
everything you wanted in a new remake.
They have actually done it. This is the third time because they're also doing a Dino Crisis, right?
No,
or they voted that they wanted Dino Crisis.
Yeah.
That was and then
Capcom released their survey, and Dino Crisis was the number one. Out of 250,000 votes, it did 88,000.
So it's looking likely. Not 100%.
That's a huge chunk.
Yeah. It is.
Gotta be the majority based on how many games there were.
And Final Fantasy Tactics is also confirmed getting a rework.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's what you said.
You tell me.
That's what they say.
Okay.
But anyway, the last game.
You brought it up.
The last game that we're interested in is it called The Neverwinter? Or is it just Neverwinter? No.
Unaware. Do not know.
What was the last game we just looked at?
Yeah, I don't remember the title. I just remember it had winter in it.
Oh, the Forever Winter.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Neverwinter is a D&D thing.
Well, that's why I was confused because I was
the
are
Forever
they making
Winter.
A remake of Neverwinter? I was pretty excited for a second.
Your guy's confused face for making me confused, because I was like, we just watched it.
The Forever Winter looks incredible. Yeah, I hadn't seen it until just before we started recording, because you showed it to me.
Yeah.
Like, you are a group of scavengers trapped in a world where there are two factions at war with each other, who have apparently been at war for so long that all they do is make war machines, these giant mechs that look amazing.
Yes.
But there's all these super bizarre creatures, like the Cleaners, which are like these 20-foot tall women who just like collect injured people and like stuff off the ground. So you have access to water, which is how you bargain with these people and stay alive. And you just go out on these missions in this world. Yeah. Try and survive.
It looks awesome.
Super cool. All the character designs looked incredible.
Yeah.
The features look really interesting. Like, the gunplay looked really satisfying.
It looks like a time sinker. Like, you're just going to get lost in this world. You will be 300 hours in before you know it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is not a Game Pass game, which is...
I mean, that's fine.
But if I only have to buy one game after all these cool trailers...
That's true. That's true. True. Yeah. But it looks like a game for us.
Yeah.
To play together. Cool. So I think that's
it. Might be PC exclusive, though. Steam exclusive.
That's true. It might be. Maybe. So crank up those graphics.
Man. Overclock your...
Yeah.
Turn those graphics up.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, guys. I think that's it. Go check out those trailers. If you're watching on YouTube, you are seeing parts of the trailers, but go watch the whole thing with audio. I'm sure they will be much more satisfying that way.
Indeed. And if there's anything that we missed that you thought was cool,
let us know what games you saw so many to take in at the show you want us to take a look at, or that you're excited about, or let us know why you still think games suck. Even after all this, you think there's that wrong. Too. Actually, games are bad. Yeah. Check us out on YouTube. Check us out on any podcast platform under Did I Save, always. Check us out on TikTok or Blue Sky. We'll be at Did I Save Podcast. And more importantly, if you have any questions or comments or feedback or whatever, email us. Did I Save Podcast at gmail.com.
Beautiful.
Other than that, there's only one thing you need to know, and it's don't forget to save.
Don't forget to save.
To save, yeah.